Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, let's do this. All right. I'm just going to throw this out right away. 888-957-9570. What do you think is actually going on? What, like, can we do this?
Yeah.
What do you think, okay, is actually going on with the Chiefs and the refs? What do you, for real, not tongue in cheek, what do you actually think is going on?
An unfortunate coincidence over and over and over and
every
over.
Every weekend?
It kind of feels like, I mean, there is no doubt that a dynasty and a team like the Chiefs, who is almost universally hated outside of a couple of states in the Midwest, is generally good for ratings. People tune in to hate watch and to try to hope that this is the time that they lose. So there's probably some motivation for the NFL to try to see this team get as far along as possible. But I don't think there's match fixing going on at this stage. It just feels like unfortunate coincidence that seems like some of the big plays tend to favor the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, I look at it through the lens of any referee or umpire or whatever. I do think that, and this isn't about the Chiefs, this is any team. I do think that human beings get caught up in their environment. I mean, hell, that's not even just refs. That's any of us. You get caught up in your environment. Steiny at the comedy show the other night probably laughed more if the people around him were laughing, right? It's why you don't want to see a movie with no one else in the theater. It's weird. It's awkward. You want to get caught up in your surroundings. And I do think that that happens with referees too. So that's sort of what they call home cooking. And the Chiefs aren't home in all of these games. So will it matter in the Super Bowl at a neutral site?
They weren't last year.
I don't know, but like, I'm with you. Like, let's put this aside. I don't think there's some sort of conspiracy. I see all the memes and all the GIFs all over social media where Patrick Mahomes is making out with referees. I see it.
The referees aren't in the black and white zebra stripes. They're in the red and white stripes.
Yeah,
they're Chiefs fans.
Like, I don't think they all got drinks together. I don't think Steratore and Mahomes and Andy Reid all went and got a Manhattan on the rocks after the game and got him again, Bob. Like, no, I don't think that. But there's something. There's something. Like, why, for example, why would the NFL even want Patrick Mahomes over Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? I don't find Patrick to be more watchable than those guys.
Yeah, but you're watching regardless.
Right.
You specifically.
I think most people are.
Yeah.
Is anyone tuning in because it's the Chiefs?
I think more people are going to be watching the Super Bowl because the Chiefs are in it versus if it was the Baltimore Ravens.
You do?
Yeah.
The Ravens were playing the Eagles,
I think diehard football fans that are probably watching regardless, generally speaking, all would rather watch a different team than the Chiefs. But if we're talking about the wide-ranging American public, or hell, even the international public, I think it's like, oh, the Chiefs are in it again. Is this the year they finally lose? Who are they going to end the Chiefs dynasty, or are they going to be the first team to ever win three in a row? That is an infinitely easier game and thing to sell to people who might not be watching in the first place.
Dynasties do rate. I'm not going to disagree with you there. At the same token, like, does it even matter? I would love to know this from the NFL. The Super Bowl in 13 days. Are you telling me that if 44 million people watch versus 42.5 million, is there some sort? How does that affect anyone?
Yeah, I don't know. NFL's pretty greedy. We know that.
But like the following year, they're like,
we can charge an extra.
Ad rates are going up now. Because instead of 43 million, 44 million watched.
Makes a difference.
God, does it? Like, who cares? It's the Super Bowl. You're going to get a bajillion people all the time, all the eyes, all the ears, fluctuate a little here, a little there. Was the weather nice? Is the weather bad? I don't know. But, like, I don't think anybody is like, oh, Patrick didn't make it. I'm not watching Josh Allen play the Eagles. Who would, that sounds odd to me.
I'll tell you one group of people who's going to be watching the Super Bowl because the Chiefs are in it that wouldn't have otherwise. Taylor Swift fans.
Maybe. I don't even hear much about that anymore. And I have a 15-year-old daughter. And she's a huge Taylor Swift fan. And last year, thank you, it was a big deal. It was a big, that's the funniest drip of the history of this show, by the way. The fact that I have a daughter. Anyway, like that was a big deal last year. What's Taylor wearing and all that?
Yeah, hasn't been as big of a deal.
There's a little bit of that still, but I don't.
Kelsey also hasn't had a good year. That's probably part of it.
It's whatever.
Not as good of a year, I should say.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm searching for answers from you, from our listeners today. What is actually going on? Because I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't think that they're trying purposefully to get Mahomes into the Super Bowl. If they were doing that, they're being too subtle. I mean, these games are all by three. Like,
they all have been flipping the coins.
Like, they plan for blocked extra points and stuff like that at the end of games.
They could have easily lost to the Texans the week prior.
Of course they could have. Of course. So, like, I don't think they've got that kind of juice. But there's got to be something beneath the surface that's leading this, because you can't tell me that 17 times in a row they're just like, yeah, crazy. But, like, here are the five things that went their way again. And they're not quirky. Like, I do believe in making your own luck. These are other people with whistles and power and eyeballs on cameras who continually seem to come out. I'm glad that you brought up that worthy catch. You cannot review that and then walk out to my television set and go, yeah, he caught it. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Like, it's physically impossible for you to say that that's what that factually did not happen.
One thing, I mean, watching that play live, I thought it was an interception. And then I saw the replay. Well, first of all, I thought it was an interception. They ruled it a catch live. saw the replay, and I thought, ooh, I don't know how that's a catch. I mean, first of all, the Bills' DB has possession of it pretty clearly as they're coming down from jumping. And then the ball hits the ground, and then Worthy takes it away. So I don't know how you could possibly call it a catch. I think maybe where most fans feel frustration is where you have these 50-50 calls. You have that Worthy catch or no catch or interception. You have the Josh Allen 4th-and-1 QB sneak. And, yeah, you could understand, like, someone calling it live in the moment. Really difficult thing to do. I can understand it being called either way, but it just feels like way more often than not, those 50-50 calls in the moment, even before review, and we can get review out of here because the rule book is really rigid and you need 100%, you need to be totally sure that it was the wrong call to change it. Like, I get that. But in the moment, those like 50-50 moments generally tend to favor the Kansas City Chiefs way more than whoever the hell they're playing.
You're absolutely right. And I wonder if that's not part of what to me feels like the flaw, which is almost like, are you, if you're the ref, are you watching this game through the lens of you're just so used to their brilliance? Because again, I don't want, they're
brilliant. It's the Chiefs. Of course they got
they're
it.
They're brilliant. They're obviously incredibly brilliant.
Every big moment. They make every
big play.
They make
every play. They make the play call correct every time. They execute every time. I mean, they do things you're not allowed to do by conventional wisdom. You cannot, on what was it at the end of the game, on
the Kincaid drop?
When they've got the ball, and I mean the actual end of the game, the play before victory formation.
And, Third and nine.
The Bills have no timeouts. I grew up in an NFL where there's no coach in history who would throw the ball on that down.
I got it right here. 3rd and 9 from the Buffalo 35. Chiefs up by 3, 1:35 left.
If you run the ball into the middle, you can dribble the ball with a punt, you can dribble the ball down to the 10-yard line, take another 40 seconds off the clock, you give the Bills the ball with essentially 30 seconds and no timeouts. The NFL I grew up in, that's what every coach would have done.
So what Kyle Shanahan would have done, doubt.
Maybe. You're probably right. But
he has done that.
My thing is, not only do they just drop back to throw with the guts of a burglar, there's someone always
open,
totally wide open, every time, and Patrick delivers every time, and the player catches it every time, and just the presence of mind they seem to constantly have. No one's taking that away.
Amazing play call. And on the set of downs right before that, 2nd and 9, they threw it there as well.
Yep.
Now, both these throws are like out to the flats to running backs, but a throw's a throw.
And why are they standing by themselves every time? What? Like, I would love to be in a play-calling meeting with the Chiefs.
Oh, man.
Because it's just there every time they need it. They ran the same play on, I think they went for it on 4th and 5 in their own territory in the fourth quarter. They ran the same play that Patrick ran in the Super Bowl in overtime on 4th down, and the same result.
They did it in the first half. Yep. They had a 4th and 1 from their own 39, down by 3 in the second quarter, and they did the play action fake. Mahomes boots out to the right, wide open, gains like 7 yards, which is, you're right, the exact same play they ran in overtime in the Super Bowl.
It's as if Andy Reid knows what the defense called before he makes his call. That's what it looks like to watch this team. And for that, I give nothing but the utmost respect. But it's almost like it feeds the animal that is all of us in this, that when one thing appears to either be a 50-50 call or even leaning in the other direction, and they get that call, it just triggers all of us. Because it's almost like, man, do not give them any. They do not need help. They don't need help. But they are getting help, whether it's purposeful or not. They clearly got helped this year a number of times.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that gets to a lot of us, and I know you feel this way, I feel this way, it isn't just the decisions or non-decisions that refs make, and we're highlighting a few of them with the Worthy catch or not catch and the Allen QB sneak late in the game on 4th and 1, 4th and half a yard, or whatever it was, and they rule both of those in favor of the Chiefs, both initially and upon review. What also gets to us is, like, the luck and the bounce of the ball, and like the end of the Broncos game where they block a kick, because of course they block a freaking kick to win a game at the end. Like, of course, like, that's just, it makes exact sense with how this Chiefs dynasty has gone. And again, it's not to take away everything that they've done, because clearly they are an incredible football team that shows up in all those big moments. But it's more than just the ref. It's the frustration of course the ball bounced the way it did, because it's the Kansas City freaking Chiefs. It has for years now.
Yeah, 888-957-9570. I'm on a search for some answers here. Like, what do you actually think is going on? There's another list. It's another game and another list that you can find anywhere on any of your favorite platforms of all the calls that went their way, and then the ensuing debate over whether that was either the wrong call or the league just decided to make up a new rule for you today and that they've never told you about. A blended clock. Thanks, Gene.
What the hell
on God's green earth are you talking about?
We saw the game clock hit 2 minutes.
That is a delay of game.
Yeah, with the game or the play clock at zero,
like,
and the game clock's at 2:01.
Right.
2 minute warning. Nothing to see here.
That's always a delay game. Oh, sorry, except for now. Not now. Not this time. And all of us sit there and we go, okay. Like, I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is this. We're going to take your calls on this. What do you actually think is going on between the Chiefs and the refs? Like, all answers are welcome. 888-957-9570. Grandy's here. We're taking your calls, okay? Plus, as you know, if you're a faithful listener to 95.7 The Game, the knockout tournament at Chase Center, qualifications have already started. Two listeners are already in from this morning and then early this afternoon with Steiny and Goo. Another chance today. All you got to do is make sure you're listening in the 4 o'clock hour. We give you a keyword, and then we'll tell you what to do with the keyword. So for right now, all you need to know, you better be here at 4 o'clock. And be ready to listen for the 4 o'clock hour. Your chance to play knockout with us at Chase Center. Play hoops on the Chase Center court. And, oh, by the way, the man sitting directly across this table from me is the knockout champ.
Bring it on!
Is he the Chiefs? Is he just going to come out and win again?
I'm going back-to-back here.
Or are y'all coming for him? Okay? We're also sponsored by Ceremony Ford. Your call's next. Grandy in for dibs on Willard and Dibs.
We know that has been trademarked by Pat Riley. You can call it whatever you want. Three Chief, a Chief Pete, whatever it is. They're about to head to New Orleans to explore the opportunity to reach a level that's never been seen before, Tony, in the history of the NFL. Chance at three consecutive Super Bowl titles.
Who could have thought?
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Tony Romo, Jim Nance, CBS. We're not going to do three Chief. I'm out on three Chief.
You tried a little too hard there, Jim.
Yeah. If you're not allowed to say three Pete, then just call it a three Pat. That's what they should do.
Yeah, that's better.
That's better than three Chief. And I just thought of that now. I'm not even saying it's that good, but it's better than what... Anyway.
Three Chief. Chief Pete, whatever. I don't know.
Chief Pete. No, I don't want a Chief Pete. We do want to talk to you, though. Like, I'm... And again, I hope you sort of gather the wry grin that I've got behind this take. I didn't lose sleep. I'm still eating. I'm not that mad, but it's annoying. And I say that with full like, I lay down my arms. The Chiefs are amazing. They deserve so much respect.
Yeah, this is kind of sour grapes, but not really.
Yeah, a little. I hope that I do want a little dash of sour grapes in there. But this is, it's annoying. I like, just win the game without having five things where we come in the next day and go, what the hell was that? What the hell was that?
Yeah.
I mean, Sterator right there on the broadcast is like, yeah, that was first down. The Bills had the lead and the ball in Chiefs territory.
Yeah, he said what? I think that was a first down by about a third of the length of the football.
There you go.
The line judge on the far side, initially his spot was coming in about a foot inside the 40. Then the near side linesman came in and said he was short of it. They had two different marks. Let's see what they come with.
After review, the ruling in the field stands as called. It'll be first down in Kansas City.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. I mean, you got to give, I mean, that's so close. It's whatever the call was, I don't think you could overturn it. Wow.
How did you see it, Gene?
I felt like he gained it by about a third of the football, Jim. That was just my take on the play. Tough play.
I agree.
Yeah, well, okay, so here's the big flaw with all replay. And that's, again, from CBS. That's Nance and Romo, and Gene Steratore runs in there. The big flaw in all of replay is that the people who made the calls are then reviewing the play. It needs to be someone completely different who is not emotionally attached or friends with Bob the line judge who just made the call. It needs to be someone completely different. They need to almost make this like someone landed from outer space and this is the first play they ever saw. No context. I don't want you to even know who the teams are. It needs to be like Family Feud when they go to the final round. That whoever that family member that is that has to go second, they leave and go to a soundproof booth and watch nothing. And then come out like you were just born and tell me what you see.
Got to be sequestered.
And there's no way that anyone would not, if you saw that for the first down, no context, there's not a set of eyeballs in America that didn't think first down. It crossed the line.
Part of the issue is how rigid the NFL rulebook is. Like, I think most of us watching this game, and I think Chiefs fans would probably even admit to this as well. I mean, what the hell are they holding on to? They've already won three Super Bowls. They're about to win their fourth, maybe, and third in a row. The rigidity of the rulebook is such that you can make an understandable mistake on the original call, right? Like, you could say Josh Allen was short. Okay. Like, it's really close. Like,
sure.
I don't blame anyone for making the mistake live. But because you made a mistake live, and there's not 100% certainty that you were wrong, you have to uphold the call, even though you're like, maybe 90% chance I'm wrong.
Right.
Like, but because the rigidity of the rule is it has to be entirely inconclusive that you were wrong to change it, makes no sense. Just go with what you think is probably right in those 50-50 situations.
I could not agree more. And the reason that it was set that way originally is because there was trepidation about the idea of taking the human element out of the game. So they're like, okay, only if it's like absolutely 1,000% clear. We don't even go to court that way. All you have to have in court is beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, I'm beyond a reasonable doubt that Josh Allen crossed that line.
Yeah, so hit the ball, is Josh Allen.
Is there unequivocally no doubt? Well, no, but it's beyond a reasonable one.
Yeah, on that replay, Josh Allen heads for the 40-yard line, which was the line to gain. And as the view from the sideline right down the 40-yard line, which again is the line to gain, he gets pushed behind Chris Jones's helmet. And the ball is behind Chris Jones's helmet, and
right.
You can't see where the ball is. But guess where Chris Jones's helmet is? On the 40-yard line.
Well, and guess where Josh Allen is?
On the 40-yard line.
I can see Josh, unless he transferred the ball down between his legs, I'm pretty sure he crossed the 40-yard line.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was no magic trick going on here. The ball was just right behind Chris Jones's helmet, which is above the 40-yard line. All you had to do was get the nose of the football to the 40, and it's a first down.
And we're going to go to the calls right now, but here's the one thing that I'd love to take away. And by the way, and if they're in the car, I say this lovingly, but it's the most stiny thing ever. Here's the take I hate whenever stuff like this happens. Well, The Bills had plenty of chances to overcome that unfortunate situation. They still had a whole quarter to play.
They did.
I don't care. That's not my point. You're not wrong. That's true. The Bills could have gone out and won by 10, and then it wouldn't have mattered. I hate that stuff. This happened. It's wrong, period, as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to hear about, well, but like, this isn't life. It's football. It's different for me. Like, sure, you're all going to have bad stuff happen, and yes, you need to go overcome it. But we don't play life in three-hour vignettes that then allow us to get up the next day or not. But in football, they do. And the Bills are now metaphorically dead because they got hosed. They may have lost anyway. Why can't I say that about the Chiefs? Give Josh Allen the first down. Hey, Chiefs, you still got plenty of time. You got plenty of time to overcome.
I know.
I hate that take.
I know you were saying during the crossover, your brother-in-law left at the end of the third quarter and was like, doesn't matter. Chiefs are still winning this game.
They were just teasing us.
When the Bills took the one-point lead, and then they forced a three and out, and they got the ball right back. And that drive where they got the ball back was what happened. That was the beginning of the Josh Allen quarterback sneak review turnover on downs drive. The beginning of that drive was the first moment I allowed myself to think, oh, my God, it might actually happen. It felt like the game was getting out of hand at the end of the first half. The Bills come all the way back. They take
the lead.
And they forced a three and out. They get the ball right back. They just ran it down the Bills or the Chiefs' throats the drive prior. And you're like, oh, my God. Arrowhead sounds a little bit nervous right now. I haven't felt this in a while. Ever since Joe Burrow won a few years ago, I haven't had this feeling. And then everything else happened. I realize how stupid I am for believing that I thought there was a chance there.
I'm so stupid for thinking the Chiefs were going to lose. Anthony in Oakland. Hi, Anthony. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, boys. Good afternoon. I think it's pretty obvious the NFL is trying to put their finger on the scale just to keep games competitive. You know, they have rules. They could put a chip in the ball. It's 100 yards. It's not like... It's so easy for them to be able to get these right. They don't want it right. They want it to be up. They could speak to the ref. They can say, hey, don't let them get a first down here. Let's keep this game a little bit closer. And the NFL messed up when the Niners and the Seahawks were playing, and they said on live TV on Amazon, oh, there's not a view that shows the ball hit this player in the hand. And then, oh, they messed up. They accidentally showed the view that did show that, in fact, it did do it. Like, you guys, I cannot be convinced otherwise that the NFL has their finger on the scale and they're trying to get competitive games. And it looks like the Chiefs get a majority of these calls in their favor because they're good. I mean, they're good. They're going to take advantage of these situations. But you cannot convince me otherwise that the NFL is not trying to get a more competitive game on national TV.
It's an interesting take, Anthony. I don't look at it the same way, but it's an interesting take. Thank you so much. I mean, because if the whole idea was we want competitive games, well, you already have that. Why would you start hosing the Bills? They're up by one. It's a one-point game. And in the fourth quarter, you're at Arrowhead. Why would I start, like, nudging things in favor of the Chiefs to knock them forward? Again, I'm just going based on this premise that they're trying to keep the game close. Now, his reference to the Niners-Seahawks game is a funny one.
I hadn't thought about that in a while.
I mean, y'all remember that one where there was a fumble on the punt return?
That was the Thursday night game
Thursday night game.
So on Amazon.
We were told that we had a view that the review room did not.
Which makes no sense.
I'm like, did you not sign up for Amazon Prime?
They should have 20 more angles than we get to see on the broadcast.
At minimum, I should have the same ones.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny. But I don't believe that there's a full-blown conspiracy here. I just think that there's something.
Yeah. Well, it's funny when the caller brought up Niners-Seahawks. I went back to, I forget which year it was. It was the NFC Championship game in Seattle. The Sherman, you know, sorry-ass receiver with Crabtree. That game, right?
A mediocre receiver.
Mediocre receiver. Terrible memories, and I'm sorry for bringing it up. But you remember earlier in that game when the Seahawks were near the goal line, I believe, trying to score. I think it was maybe near the end of the first half, or maybe it was in the third quarter. And Marshawn Lynch fumbles the ball. Bowman recovers it. And as Bowman is being taken to the ground, his knee gets caught underneath him. That's where he tears up his knee on that play.
And he's
clearly down on the ground with the ball in his hands. And because it was ruled a fumble and a recovery, and maybe back at that time the review procedure was different, and they couldn't overturn it because of what was called on the play, and they blew a whistle or whatever. I forget the exact situation. But everyone, seeing it clear as day, including the officials, could see Bowman had possession with his knee on the ground. And yet it stood as a fumble recovery, or the ball went back to the Seahawks, which makes absolutely no sense. That rule has been changed, but it just, there's multiple things we're talking about here, like inherent bias potentially in favor of the Chiefs.
Totally.
And just the way the rule book is structured and worded makes no sense.
Wow.
You're making it so much difficult to actually get the right call out.
I agree. Like the spotting of the ball by just doing it by the eyes of two people in their 60s who are in an unbelievably loud, frenetic, chaotic environment is absurd. And I've thought that for a long time, and we've made that comment before. But here's what I would say. As much as someone will call up and be like, this is a widespread NFL conspiracy, and I'll be like, well, no, I don't believe that. But here's what I'm beyond believing. You can't tell me that it works this way. Like, in other words, I know there are bad calls in life, and you get some, you win some, you lose some, you move on. I'm supposed to buy that this is a coinkydink, that this has happened for the Chiefs every damn week of our lives for the last 4 months? What?
So what do you think it is? It's not a league-wide conspiracy, but it's more than just a coincidence. So what is it?
The best that I can do in the way I feel right now is to feel like, A, there is some sort of, the officials are caught up into the tidal wave that is the Chiefs, combined with, it's like when you look at whether you love women or love men or whatever, like you see a beautiful person walk down the street and you're just like drawn to them. Or maybe even a better example would be like if you've ever been in love or look at your own kids, the love that you have for your kids, and you only see, you see them through that lens where it's like, no, my kid didn't get in trouble at school. Must have been that other kid that caused this problem.
Some sort of inherent bias that you're not aware of.
You look at the Chiefs and it's like, well, yeah, it's a first down. Or Patrick's not. Someone touched him. Patrick's not sliding at the shins of defensive linemen. You can't touch Mahomes in the head. It's Mahomes. There's a presence there. So that flag's going to come out a little quicker than if Trevor Lawrence or, hell, Brock Purdy or whatever. You know what I mean? Baker Mayfield is running down the field. It's different. I don't even know if that's a great answer. That's the best one I got right now.
I hear you.
Skills in Vallejo. Hi, Skills. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, Willard and Grandy? Before I make my main point, I just wanted to say real quick, Willard, I reached out to you on X this weekend, and I hope to call your birthday show on Friday. Couldn't get to it. I got too busy with the kid. But it's basically, I just wanted to say that I never heard of you 4 years ago, and then you came to the game, and you know, I've been on your show a couple of times, and we don't always agree on stuff, but you always respect my opinion, and I always respect yours. You never dog me out if my takes are ridiculous, which, you know, sometimes you probably should. And so, yeah, again, thank you. I respect you. And, again, happy belated birthday.
Skills, thank you very much. That's a very sincere thought, and I appreciate that. And if I ever dog you out, I just wait for a commercial break. But let's go, man. What's your crazy take today?
Well, today, I just want to say that the Super Bowl matchup coming up between Philadelphia and Kansas City basically just makes you want to hurl in the end zone. And it's going to be a giant crap. I mean, they're both great teams, but I'm just, you know, it's a case of, and I'm not a jealous 49ers fan speaking here. It's overexposure, oversaturation of the Chiefs and the Eagles. They've played in 6 of the last 8 Super Bowls, if I'm not mistaken. And I just know that me and most people I know are just tired of them. I'm probably not even going to watch the stupid thing. I just think about the 2018-19 playoffs when I actually felt bad for the Chiefs when they blew a chance to go to the Super Bowl with D4 going offside at that time. And my how things have changed since then. But that was before Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce started doing whatever it is they do.
It's called dating. Yeah, they're just, you know, they're two people who like each other. It's all good.
Fair enough. True that. But see, what that did, it got a million non-NFL fans watching, but you got millions of eyeballs watching the games. You got millions more eyeballs buying stuff, you know, advertising dollars, things like that. And so I'm not going to accuse Roger Goodell of staying up till 4 a.m. coming up with scripts for the games, but I will say it wouldn't surprise me that if we found out one day there was someone from upstairs who was helping the officials make certain decisions on the field, or TMZ released photos of Mahomes and Kelsey and four refs at a bar drinking and laughing one day. And that's my ridiculous point of the day. Thank you, Mark Wood. Yeah. And Mark Grady.
Yeah, Skills, thank you for calling and being such a faithful listener. Again, my brain, and maybe this is a flaw for me, my brain can never go there because I love this stuff too much. Like, I just cannot divorce myself from the idea that this is actually reality programming. Like, real reality programming, unscripted. The idea that, you know, with the amount of money and eyeballs and attention that's on professional sports, the idea that somebody could pull off a conspiracy theory, I've always thought sounded crazy. Like, how? How? So you're telling me when a Chiefs player signs as a free agent and now they're on the other team and they're getting hosed, none of them in a frustrated moment would ever be like, hey, reporter, come here. You want to know something? Guess what? The whole damn thing's fixed.
Yeah, they're paying them off after the fact too, Willard.
Like, I can't.
They're all in the NFL's pocket. Come on.
I can't buy it, but 415 just texted in with a real interesting, simple question. Y'all ever seen the Chiefs get hosed? When's the last time you saw the Chiefs lose a close, controversial call?
When Tom Brady was playing.
Interesting way to answer it.
The AFC Championship game, that was the 2018 season, 2019 AFC Championship game?
The only time that comes to mind is when that offsides call that D-4. Got so talked about. The offsides call. No, I'm talking about the wide receiver who lined up.
Oh.
The offsides call. It was a regular season game between the Bills and the Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes, this is one of the reasons I started, like, not liking Patrick as much, because it's like he's overexposed. That's not his fault. But, like, Josh Allen, for example, he legitimately probably feels like he got one taken from him yesterday. But I'm betting that when he met up with Patrick at midfield after the game, he congratulated him and said, great effort out there. Good luck in the Super Bowl. He was classy about it. But 2 years ago, there was a regular season game between Patrick and Josh. And when they met at midfield...
Kadarius Toney.
There it is.
Yeah.
When they met at midfield, there's audio of Patrick Mahomes, like Josh Allen is like, hey, good game, man. And Patrick's like, can you believe the stupid calls that went... Basically, he's yelling at Josh about the calls that went Josh's way. And I'm like, dude, you're a dirtbag. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The same guy that hunts defensive linemen's legs and slides into them so that he can pull personal foul calls and flopped out of bounds last week when he wasn't touched. That guy? That's his post-game handshake. Congratulations to Josh Allen. Is to yell about an offsides call? I'm like, yuck, dude, that's gross.
That was week 14 of not this year, but last year, so the 2023 regular season.
Okay, there it is.
Tony lines up offside. It was the deep completion in the fourth quarter. Chiefs down by three. It goes to Kelsey. Kelsey then pitches it backwards to Tony, who runs into the end zone.
That's the play.
But I called back because he was offside.
And Patrick was screaming about it after the game. And checks notes, remind me, how did last year end? Oh, right, the Chiefs still won the Super Bowl anyway.
And they beat the Bills in the process.
And he could not even give Josh Allen a, hey, how you doing, for a regular season win. He had to be a whiny little blank. That's when I stopped digging
Patrick
Mahomes.
Tell me how you really feel.
That's when I stopped liking Pat. Marvin in the city. Hey, Marvin, thank you for calling. By the way, be patient. A lot of people want to weigh in. We're getting to all of you. Hey, Marvin, thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking the call. Bad calls and all that kind of stuff happen all the time. I remember the 49ers got screwed in 83 and 84 with two pass interference calls in the championship game, neither of which could have been caught, thrown way out of bounds, but Washington got down the field and won the game. That Montana threw for 285 yards in the fourth quarter and a couple of touchdowns. Then there was the 15-13 game against the Giants. The Giants didn't have a defensive back who could break six in the 40, and they held Rice and Taylor to one touchdown in two entire games. And the reason was, in that 15-13 game, they committed pass interference about 15 times, and it was never called. So I think that, and that was when we were going for the three-peat. That's the game where our guy fumbled when we had the lead, and then the Giants got a field goal at the end of the game.
Roger Craig. That was, that was the Roger Craig fumble, Marvin, yes.
But people forget. I mean, Rice and Taylor were held, as well as our tight end. Brett Jones was held the entire game against the Packers in 95. It was the same thing.
Well, so Marvin, here's my question, though, because if your thought is the NFL is doing things like that in order to keep a game close, well, then wouldn't the risk be exactly what happened, which is you want to keep it close, but you still want the 49ers to go because they're a dynasty going for a three-peat, and the refs kept it close, and then one of their best players fumbled, and you actually ended up with the New York Giants in the Super Bowl instead of the team. You know what I mean?
Well, they wanted a New York team to win. Let me leave you with this. In Atlanta was 2-14. The next year, they were going to have a stadium bond issue, and they went 14-2. And the year after that, after they got their stadium bond issue passed from all those fans that were so happy over going to the Super Bowl, they went 3-13 the next year. This is with the same coach and the same players.
Marvin, we got to run. Thank you. But that one, to me, that's more interesting, where you're like, oh, they just got a stadium bond issue passed. But, I mean, I have no knowledge of the Falcons of that year.
It's a pretty big swing. What, 2 wins to 14 wins?
And then right back again.
And then right back to three wins. Yeah.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. A lot of you lined up. We're coming. 888-957-9570. What do you really actually think is going on with the refs and the Chiefs? The nightmare Super Bowl for us 49er fans is here. But Grandy's here, too. That's not a nightmare. He's in for Dibs on Willard and Dibs.